Change can't happen just because Jesse or Sid says so. You really have to go prepared with data and with stories. You have to bring those two things together when you are connecting with an elected official.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Jesse Torres, host of Hack My Business. I'm here with my co-host, Sid Vrakara. And as I'm sure many of you are aware, as of today, August 28th, we are just 74 days away from Election Day on November 3rd, which is when we'll be voting on federal and local representatives and, you know, whatever slate of measures are on your respective ballot. So during this whole, you know, really dynamic swirl about the election and all the different issues that are floating around, Sid and I were thinking about, you know, the intersection between policy and business and how mystifying it can be for entrepreneurs and small business owners that are really trying to figure out, okay, what is the connection between politics and business? And what does it mean for me to be an advocate for my own business or for my industry? And so we wanted to share our three best practices when it comes to advocacy and give you some thoughts and insights into this really fascinating and complicated arena. So Sid, are you ready? Are you ready to talk advocacy?
You know, I always am ready to talk about advocacy, Jesse.
You love it. You know, I know you've been doing a lot of work in this space for a long time, but what is it about this world, this intersection that really appeals to you?
I think part of it is just the, it's literally just putting together a puzzle, right? Mm. Like, so like, you know, everything is just like figuring out like the kind of the puzzle pieces, how they fit together. And so that you can get to an end result. I kind of love that aspect of kind of like diving into an advocacy challenge.
Interesting. So it's like, it's the riddle of it, right? Like trying to figure
exactly.
out like how the pieces. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, because for me, when I think about it, it's like almost like an ends to a mean, right? I mean, part of it is there is this thrill to it. And in many cases, it's really rewarding, right? Especially if it's a cause you really care about. But the intricacy of it, you know, the nuance of it can be really exhausting, you know? And I know, but I know that you thrive on that. You love it.
It's kind of funny. And look at me, I'm giggling when I do that. And I do love it. And I think it's the process of the puzzle making, but it is the end result. Like if you actually are able to accomplish something, there's like a real kind of a feeling of accomplishment and victory. Whether it's because you've done something like really important for yourself, your business, or your community, you know, that's really exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can help us, you know, set the stage for the topic, you know, and really maybe starting with like, how do you define advocacy? Because, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's a term that they're, you know, they probably have heard quite a bit, but they aren't quite sure, okay, what does that exactly mean? So maybe you can start by just helping us understand what is advocacy?
You know, Jesse, I think we can help to set the stage for this topic is if we really define what it means to be an advocate. And I think its most basic form, advocacy, is the act of speaking in support of a person or a place or most often a cause. Advocacy can take many forms. It really could be meeting with your local elected official to educate them on your business or your industry. It could even be issuing something as simple as a newsletter on how a new law will impact your business to others, or it can be as complicated as organizing a rally on a particular issue that you care about. And I'm sure people are wondering how advocacy is different from lobbying. Lobbying is any direct attempt to influence a new or existing piece of legislation while communicating with a member of the legislature, or it could be the general public if it's a ballot initiative. And advocacy isn't tied to anything that's a specific bill or ballot initiative. So you can really be kind of providing a lot of information to a public policy kind of agenda without it actually being considered lobbying.
I think that's really important to kind of really explain what it is, because I think people get confused right away, or how they imagine, like when they start thinking about advocacy, right? They're thinking, you know, I think they kind of go to this dark place, right? They have this image of like a slick lobbyist because of TV, right? You know, where there's some kind of like weird transactional kind of relationship happening, right? But really advocacy, at least in my head, is, you know, supporting a cause, right? And really kind of being a champion for something where you might even be the first person to really see it. And so it's something really different from what can be perceived as, you know, kind of traditional lobbying, right? Or that kind of, that very different kind of business practice.
Well, and it can be scary, right? I mean, because like people, it's outside the realm of what most people know, right? So you're right. You hear of a lobbyist and you think that's special interests, right? And they're doing something inside a Capitol building that you know nothing about, right? So it's, you're just removed from it. And then at some level too, there is like a concern that, you know, if I put my name out there to do something, I am inviting some blowback. I'm inviting criticism or pushback from a community or otherwise that could harm my business. So, you know, I think that those are two things that just kind of like, you know, paralyze people from actually getting engaged. And then certainly there's just like the, what is it? I mean, like the point of this podcast is to kind of demystify it, right? Because like anybody really can be involved in the process of doing good and or just kind of like fixing things that don't work.
Right. Yeah. And I know, you know, you and I have done a lot of work in the advocacy space, and thanks for that, for the overview. But we've done, you know, work in this space through our own respective consulting firms and in our past roles with the state and other organizations. You know, I actually have a current client that asked me to present every few months on the basics of advocacy to small business owners who are just starting to think about diving into those waters. You know, but in our discussion, you know, from what we've seen is that you can really drill down the basics of getting started in advocacy into three key strategies. You know, the first is on focusing on issue discovery. The second is doing personal outreach to key stakeholders. And then the third bucket is really about coalition building. And, you know, I'm hoping that you can actually, you know, walk us through that first step, the idea of issue discovery, because I know that you really drill in on this specific component, this specific strategy, which I think really is the building block for everything else. Like, if you don't have this right, it's hard to do the other pieces. But can you dive into that for us?
Sure. So how many times have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I can't believe I have to fill out a form, or this is dumb because I have to do a process that is required for permitting, for instance, right? That just seems so, you know, kind of removed or absent from like what you think needs to get done for transparency or for government to understand what you're working on, right? I mean, like, that happens every single day in any industry. Someone is picking up a form from like, you know, a public agency to do a project, and they're like, I just don't understand, what's the point of this? Or how many times have you been in a situation, Jesse, where, you know, you say like, okay, all right, you want me to do X kind of processes because the government or a public agency expects, you know, some certain outcome. And in that, doing that process, you're like, God, this is so inefficient. Like, this isn't working in a way that saves me money or is efficient on my time. So you've figured out an end around, I call it. So you're doing other things, but gets to the final solution that the agency is expecting of you. Mm-hmm. To me, those are the two things of discovery, right? It's like, if you are if you've identified like a process that just doesn't make sense for you, I guarantee you, like, there are 1,000 other people who've had the exact same thought as you. Or if you've come up with a solution where it either saves you time or money to get to the same kind of like expectation at the end, you have identified opportunities for advocacy, right? I mean, because like, it's really important to identify those things you do or those things you think that are common sense but don't seem to be common sense from the way that a practice or procedure is in place. Those are opportunities for advocacy. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it just makes me think, you know, I think for a lot of folks also, they think of advocacy, right, or getting involved in this kind of way. And I think in their head, they're thinking of like Aaron Brockovich, right, that it's got to be such a huge issue that that's the only reason why they would find themselves like advocating on some kind of really like a national issue or like a really life-threatening, you know, kind of situation, right? But what I think is really interesting, at least this is my same experience from the work that I've done, is that often a lot of it is just trying to find a common sense fix to something, right? And what's also really interesting is that, well, at least what have I found, is that often the current problem or challenge that you're experiencing, and this relates to a lot of kind of business advocacy, is really because of the unintended consequences, right? Like, you know, 20 years ago, someone introduced a law to address a particular issue, to right a certain wrong. 20 years later, that fix doesn't really make sense anymore, or it's caused additional burden. And now you have business owners that are being impacted by this unintended consequence, and now there's time to fix it, right? But I love what you're saying about, you know, but figuring out exactly what needs to be fixed and you know, arriving to the solution to that is really important, because it's hard to do anything else if you don't really have that fully kind of baked in your head, right?
Every business has an engagement with like a public agency, right? I mean, like, for instance, I'm going to give you, I think, something that is like, that every business owner and entrepreneur knows, which is when you file with the state to, you know, get your license for your business, the state of California requires $800 upfront. Yeah. You haven't like even like asked, you know, you haven't gone to for your first customer and you already have an $800 bill from the state of California, right? And as you may know, Governor Newsom actually has kind of changed that. So like, now, when you start when you apply for your new business license, it's actually that $800 is prorated over the course of a year. Big deal. But like, you know, how many hundreds of or thousands or tens of thousands of businesses in the state of California, you know the answer than I do in terms of the number of small businesses, have actually filed their paperwork? I remember when I did mine, and I was like, what the F, I have to pay $800 and I haven't even like, you know, issued my first invoice to the state of California? Come on. And that's like not common sense. But now there was like kind of a move and advocacy to change that. I mean, and that's kind of what it comes down to, right? Is like kind of identifying those specific things like that. And the reality is, when you go talk to a public agency official, like, these are like hardworking public officials, right? I mean, I don't want to like disparage them, because like, they work really hard. They've decided to take a lesser pay to work in the public agency than in the private sector, but have greater sense of stability, and in often cases have a pension, right? So like, those things are really important, but they're following a set of procedures and policies that have been handed to them that they are expected to follow, right? Right. As a business owner, we go in and we talk to that individual, and that individual walks us through whatever the process it is. It's easiest to talk about it from a permits perspective. And you have to go and check all the boxes, right? But maybe those boxes all don't make the most sense, right? But it's not that person who's giving you the piece of paper with the checklist who can make the change. He or she is just got the policies and procedures and are following them. You know, that's where advocacy can come in, because if we go talk to the local elected official, who may not know this, but is going to be eager, I guarantee you, eager to hear the story, we can start to think about what change looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think about, you know, those moments when an industry changes, right? When a sudden innovation emerges, where like the set of laws or regulations no longer apply, something that relates to commerce but doesn't really relate to e-commerce, right? And where you can see some really visible opportunities to like, okay, well, we need to change the way we're taxed on things now, or the way that how we apply for a certain type of permit needs to change because it doesn't work like that anymore, you know? But I don't know if you share the same thought, but often when I talk to small business owners and they're really trying to struggle with, okay, what exactly should I advocate on? Often what I like to say is, well, what keeps you up at night? You know, what drives you crazy? What do you complain about the most when it comes to your business, right? Do you make the same recommendation?
That's the discovery. That's exactly it. You just said in 20 seconds or less what it took 4 minutes to say. I mean, so like, what keeps you up at night?
That's what it is,
what
man.
Keeps you frustrated?
Streamline.
It's streamlined.
Yeah.
You just streamline the process.
Exactly.
And you know, our elected officials aren't in the weeds, right? All of our elected officials come from so many different backgrounds, right? So they are not in the weeds of how the bureaucracy is running, which is exactly why those of us in the business community and or in the you know, in community need to call to attention those things and try to make change. But the change can't happen just because, you know, Jesse or Sid says so. It's like you really have to go prepared with data and with stories. That's like, right. You have to bring those two things together when you are connecting with an elected official.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and you raised the kind of the great point about, okay, what do you do next? Okay, so you've identified the issue, right? You know, hopefully you've done your homework, your research, you've come up with some ideas about how to address that issue, how to actually fix the problem, right? And then really from there is, you know, what I see is the opportunity then to engage with key stakeholders, right? And folks that have a direct ability to fix whatever you think needs fixing, or at least address the issue. And this is actually where I see a lot of people, you know, really stumbling. And I saw it quite a bit when I was really involved with procurement issues, you know, where, you know, someone had an issue with a particular contract or was trying to get a contract, and they would be emailing and say the head of the agency, right? And really puzzled about why they weren't getting a response. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, yeah, because this person, one, has no idea what contract you're talking about, right? They have 20 different managers that deal with these types of issues, and you know, the way you're going about it isn't the right way, where they're probably asking someone to, you know, to address it, delegating down, and now it's going to take a lot of time and effort for, you know, your message to get to that person and then to get back to you, et cetera, right? So part of the, you know, the work is really figuring out who exactly is responsible for this issue.
Right.
And many times it's not the most visible person, right? It's not your mayor, you know, it's not your congressman. It's the, you know, the senior manager of a particular department, right? It's the head of the planning commission. It could be, you know, just a different kind of person or entity that's really engaged with that, right?
I think that's right. And yet the thing that I want to make sure people take away from that comment is that you want to go identify that person and hopefully get a change. But if that person is obstinate, right, and is not, like, says this is the way it is and the way it's always been, right, there are so many other ways of getting around it. Because, like, imagine this, like, you could then go even to an elected and suggest that maybe this department needs to have a Lean Six Sigma kind of training, right? And if you don't know what a Lean Six Sigma training is, it's like it was actually started by the Toyota company about identifying kind of processes and procedures within a division to kind of like streamline and make more efficient. And government has, since it's been in the private sector for some time, has now adopted it. And even when, Jesse, you may remember when I think you were juggling, because when we were in state government, our office was actually kind of like overseeing Lean Six Sigma trainings throughout multiple departments. And it's really funny because, like, I actually thought we needed to make a bigger deal over the agencies that actually graduated, quote unquote, from Lean Six Sigma, because I was like, that's what customers actually see. You know, like, actual people go to the DMV, right? And if they know that we've kind of streamlined a specific process, that's like a good thing to show government's actually trying to pay attention.
Well, and I could give you another example where I remember, you know, every state agency has a small business advocate that is designed to help on a range of different issues. But I remember somebody saying to me, you know, they post all of our contacts online, right? And people are reaching out to us on this specific contract management issues. And he said, you know what, but I'm not the right person. You know, they should be talking to the contract managers, you know. And so sometimes even just sharing the right information, the right contacts with people, it always give a big shout out to the agencies and the departments that actually post that information. Like, who exactly should you be contacting? Like, making it really clear and obvious who is the best person, like the supervisor level two, right? That's actually involved in that effort, because that goes a long way. But you're right. I mean, what's interesting is that obviously the second step is figuring out, okay, who actually has authority over this particular issue, right? But there are definitely going to be moments where, you know, maybe you do have to sit down with that person and they're just not being responsive, right? One way, for one reason or another, they're just not responding.
And hopefully you're able to get movement from that person, right? One way or another. And if not, there's always other ways to kind of like address a challenge. I mean, there's never like an absolute of like an ending here. That's what I love about advocacy, is like, if you hit a roadblock one place, you can go another place. It's not like that's the end result. And on this personal connections, I mean, I think the simplest way that people could really engage with elected officials, and I don't know how this will like land on some people, but it's like actually contributing to campaigns. As you know, Jesse, I ran for the assembly, right? And yeah. I raised $242,000 from 442 people. I know every dollar that every person gave me. I know Ellen was a senior citizen who donated $25 a month to my campaign. It was just like, you as politicians know who gives them money. And it's not just about like getting like a $1,000 check. Like I knew Ellen gave me $25 a month and I knew how big that was out of her budget to do for me. So like making contributions to electeds goes a long way actually in terms of them knowing you personally and starting a dialogue.
That's a really good point. I mean, definitely, I think what you're saying, that you know, there's a lot of different ways to elevate your issue, right? You mentioned about the kind of the escalation, right? Going to a new higher level authority. And then now also, okay, well, you know, there's other ways to get the attention of an elected leader, especially, you know, through campaign contributions, right? Getting that extra attention. But, you know, I think this all leads to really the third bucket that we're talking about is, okay, how now do you join forces with other people, right? The idea of teaming to raise profile on an issue. How does that look? You know, what do you recommend around that?
You're totally right, Jesse. There might be circumstances where, you know, just your voice alone might not be enough to kind of create the change that you're seeking. And frankly, your voice alone is just never going to be enough to make major kind of like policy changes or even small policy changes. You need to have voices of others kind of like joining you. So, you know, that really is the third step, which you're kind of like teeing up for us, which is about teaming and coalition building. And that can really happen multiple ways. Lots of people join local chambers of commerce and leverage them to raise the issue that you care about, because they all have policy committees. And so like finding yourself in those rooms where they're making those decisions really makes a difference. Same as joining like an industry group, an association that just shares your interest and your interest alone, as opposed to just kind of like general chambers of commerce, which represent everybody. Or maybe there's just a coalition of partners, right, that you may or may not be in line with in your profession. I mean, you know, it could be just through your business improvement district, right? So that it's your storefronts and others are dealing with the same issue. I mean, maybe it's like a sewer issue, right, that the city needs to deal with. Or maybe it's just like tree trimming issue, right? And you and if other members of like the business improvement district are the people who are, you know, your neighbors, storefront neighbors, get together, your voice carries a lot further. So whichever way you do approach it, you know, I think you will find that there is always going to be strength in numbers. And it's just a matter of you looking for the right partner, group of partners that can help to kind of like add to your voice and frankly, what makes you comfortable in doing so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a really visible, you know, item, and this is, you know, very specific to California, but, you know, there's a lot of work being done right now, coalition building around independent contractors, right? And what's interesting in watching this all go down is that you have on one level this major corporations like Uber and Lyft, you know, aligning forces with like freelance writers, right? Who really don't have much in common other than they have a particular perspective on a shared issue, right? And on the opposite side, you're seeing the same thing. You know, the forces that are rallying, you know, in opposition are also not, you know, common bedfellows, right? They're really only aligning just for the sake of this particular issue. And it happens all the time, right? You have different people coming together, you know, for these, you know, specific moments, and then they'll break off. And, you know, the real opportunity, though, is to find those who have that common interest who you may not know, right? And really doing that work to find out, okay, who might be interested in this particular issue. Let me have a meeting with them and engage their interest, right? And solicit their support. Where, you know, if not for this, we really wouldn't be even having a conversation, right? I think that's really critical work.
I would just kind of like capture everything you just said, which was brilliant, as transactional partners or transformative partners, right? Just transactional partners, meaning like there's a specific thing, the here and now, and you're identifying partners to kind of like, you know, kind of achieve a goal. And then there's transformational partners who you're really going to go deep with and like identify like long-term changes that you want to see, and you work in a much more consistent way that just builds trust over time among you and your partners and the work you're doing.
So to summarize the three steps we're recommending, you know, the first is the concept of issue discovery, honing in on the exact problem you're trying to solve and being proactive in identifying solutions to the problem. The second is the idea of conducting personal outreach to key stakeholders. So determining who has the ability to create the change you're seeking, and then going ahead and building that personal relationship with that specific person or that specific entity to realize that change. And then finally, the idea of coalition building. You know, how do you align with persons or groups that share your interests in order to enhance and elevate your concern? And, you know, it's easy to ignore one voice, but it's really hard to ignore 1,000 voices all speaking on the same issue. We encourage you to try these strategies. Let us know how it worked for you in the review section of the Apple Podcasts, and we will make sure to feature your feedback in our next episode of Hack My Business. Thank you for joining us. If you are a California business owner seeking out resources and support, please visit our website, COVID-19BizTools.com, which provides a comprehensive listing of grants, programs, and services for COVID-19 impacted businesses. You can also visit COVID-19BizTools.com if you'd like to be featured on the show and have a question you'd like to have answered by myself, my co-host Sid, and our guests. Thank you again, have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.